Emily Elizabeth, and I'm the host of the What Fulfills You podcast, a show for and about individuals always seeking to be their best selves. On this show, we talk all about building the mindset, finding the right careers, creating meaningful relationships, and so much more. Welcome to the What Fulfills You podcast. Hello, friends. Welcome back to another episode of What Fulfills You. My name is Emily Elizabeth. I'm your host. If you did not know that, welcome. If this is your first time tuning in to the podcast, today's episode is going to be focused around very important observations I have noticed throughout my 20s. And these are observations I would tell my younger self. These are topics I would talk about with my own friends. And when I was writing out this outline, if you care about your life, the outcome, and having the best shot at a fulfilling life, then these things will matter to you. And something I have been thinking about throughout the years, but more and more as I've grown older and, of course, wiser, is just observing certain people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and so on, and taking inventory of why is their life that way and why are some other people's lives this way. And I say this in a very non-judgmental way. I'm just being honest about certain things I've noticed. And if you are someone like me who hopes to put the best effort in having the best life as possible, then these things are going to be important to think about and to pay very close attention to, because of course, I don't believe you can perfectly plan everything out in life. I think we all kind of know that. There are just going to be things that life throws at you. And at that point in time, it's about how well you navigate that obstacle, that hurdle, that downfall. And given that this podcast and just my interest in podcasting started because of heartbreak and loneliness and feeling so alone at a really formative year, I was 20 years old at the time, it forcing me to kind of just choose this path of growth, which is learning more about myself, becoming more attuned to my interests, my hobbies, to my self-confidence. I know that a lot of these notes are true and very applicable to all of us. So with that being said, let's dive into the first observation that I find is one of the most important, which is around not spending enough time developing oneself without external factors in your 20s. So what I mean by that, and there's just for reference, when I share each observation, I have multiple references. I'm not going to like actually name them, but there's just examples of many different people that I just see this as a very common theme, which is why I know there is probably some heavy truth in that. And also, and these are things that people who have been in this position would also share and have shared either with me or on the podcast or publicly. So one observation I've had, especially amongst women in their 20s, is that when they don't spend enough time developing themselves, their interests, their friend group, their circle of influence, their line of work, like all of these normal individual elements that create a person, right? And like embodies a person. When that's not done at a foundational level, it catches up. What I mean by that is speaking with multiple references in mind, a lot of women do tend to split from their partner, whether it's boyfriend or fiance or even husband or even a long-time marriage, because of not having this part developed. This has also been shared, number one, actually publicly on this podcast. I don't have the episode in mind, but it's with Stephanie Taramina, and I will link that episode in the show notes. It's also available on YouTube if you actually want to watch it. but she is one of my childhood best friends' mom. And she spoke about this on the podcast where she addressed how, many, many years ago, she navigated a divorce. And in reflection of that, she actually shared that when she was, I think she got married when she was like 25 or 26, that only a few months after getting married, she actually remembers that moment where she thought to herself, oh my gosh, what did I do? What am I going to do? Because she knew it wasn't right. And reflecting back, she said that one of the things that didn't help her in having clarity in that decision is not only societal pressure, but also because she didn't develop herself as a young woman enough at that point to know what she needs, what she wants, what is more natural to her. Like, even at that time, she mentioned that they were living in New York City. She went to Parsons and she wanted to stay. She wanted to stay and indulge in the art scene because she is like, that's who she is by nature. She's an artist. And because she didn't really have that foundational grip on who she is, she ended up just following not only what society said, but what her former partner wanted, which is to go move to the suburbs of Pennsylvania and start a life and all those things. And even though she didn't have a concrete reason or why as to why the marriage wasn't a right fit, she still felt that intuitively after already making that decision, right? And so she was very candid, very open, and reflective on that process. And it's something that she encourages is for women to take the time to just really, really, really get to know yourself on a deep level. And like I alluded to earlier, I had the opportunity to do that for myself when I was 20 and for many years after. Not out of choice, though, necessarily. Although I would say, like, yes, I chose that path. It was just such a disruptive time in my life when I was broken up with by someone that I was living with at the time. We were sharing a dog together. And I will always remember just that such a gutted feeling at the age of 20. I'm about to be a junior in college. I'm still a college student, and I am managing all of this mentally and emotionally on my own. And because I felt like there was nowhere else to go, I already felt so low at that time of my life. I started to lean into myself and building up Emily brick by brick. And I think remembering what that suffering felt like, as you know, and it's funny because even at that point in time, too, like when it comes to cultural aspects, this is especially speaking to those who are children of immigrant parents or particularly Asian parents, it's one thing that my parents, or maybe more so one parent in particular, didn't understand just this concept of heartbreak and why it was so difficult. And, the mentality was a little bit more rough and very like, come on, you can get over it. And while I understand the sentiment of it, and I'm sure some of you guys can relate and maybe have been on the receiving end of that before, but it makes it even harder when you're trying to navigate and process and move forward with your life. And then someone else almost like takes away or tries to take away the thing that you feel, right? So, all that to say,
come explore the wild heart of Utah with Oars. No notifications, no meetings, no signal. Just you, the river, and the space to reconnect with what matters most. From one-day adventures in Dinosaur National Monument to week-long journeys through canyonlands and beyond, Oars delivers unforgettable guided rafting experiences on some of the most iconic rivers in the West. Visit oars.com/Utah to start planning your next great adventure. Let's go rafting!
When I look back on that stage of my life, I do remember vividly too that this person I was dating in college, he had said to me, Emily, go put your energy and time towards something you love. Like he mentioned, you know, maybe go back to skating, like go back and do something. And that was such wise advice for me too, because I genuinely took that seriously. And I remember I was going to the gym at Equinox and I was skating and I was just really pouring into myself. And of course, now 8 years later, I can speak on that and speak on that decision and how that's led to be, how that has led me to be a lot more foundationally strong in the sense of I know who I am, I'm confident in myself, I know that life ups and downs are inevitable, but because I spent years and enough time in understanding myself and investing in myself in the different areas of life, I know that I will be in a better position to navigate that compared to when I was 20. It's almost as if I've had it like the hardest at a really young age. And so that being said, I know someone personally that also navigated in recent years. She was with her partner for 8 to 9 years. And after being married for like 4 years, they split. And when I spoke to her about it and she was sharing with me, she very much said the same thing as Stephanie Taramina, my previous guest. And she said that looking back in her 20s, she just spent so much time with this person, and which was her ex-partner, and she didn't give enough time to just understand herself and what she needs. And doing that also enables you to be more confident in a relationship when it's unhealthy, when it's someone that's trying to take control of your life in a small way, or trying to bring you down, or trying to prevent you from having certain things or people in your life. It's very easy to fall for that when you don't have a strong foundation of who you are as a person and as a woman. And so given that she was dating someone when she was really young, I think she was like 22 or 23, and that lasted through her early 30s, she knows now, like she's actually, I would say, like that's something she's doing now, which is pouring into herself the way that she wished that she did in her 20s, because she gave almost like too much time towards that partner and just like never really developed the core of who she is as a young woman. And so I kind of saw that happen as well with another person I know distantly, where they also split from their partner. And it's so sad to say, because I think, you know, everyone might want to go to this ideology like, oh, well, statistically, these divorces are happening and whatever. The way I look at things is more not around the statistics, but around the root of how these decisions led to that outcome in the first place, right? And seeing that one of the big contributors to these split ups and divorces and marriages not being right is, for on the women's side, is just not having enough of a base of who they are. And so for some people, it can also become resentment, because as you get more and more into a relationship, you can start to not feel authentic to yourself. And that can exist even if you don't really know much about who you are yet, but there is that gut feeling of this doesn't feel like me, even though you're still in discovery mode. And I think essentially you're always discovering who you are, right? Like no matter what age, but you start to have a way better idea throughout your 20s and into your 30s. I came out with an episode on this recently, but it's just one of those things where if you're not authentic to who you are, you'll feel it. It'll build up and you can try to avoid that, or life will just, it'll start being louder. That noise will be louder and louder and you're just going to feel it like, this does not feel like me. On the flip side, I want to share a positive example of someone that I actually know personally, someone who is a very, very close friend of mine, where she was with this partner throughout her 20s, and she has now built a life with him, and she's one of those people that I very much believe is going to build a very, very beautiful, long-time family and family unit with this person. She's been with her husband since she was 18. They married, I think, after 6 or 7 years of being together. And here are some things that I've noticed and observed with their dynamic, especially since I've known her since college, and she's a couple years older than me as well. But one thing that I remember actually talking about this with her too, but like a couple things. Number one, she did not live with him right away. And in fact, they did not move in together until shortly after getting engaged, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe it would have been before, but I actually doubt it. I think part of it as well is slightly because of religious reasons. They're both Christians and both active practitioners of their faith. And so I think that's an element that is involved, which is that they didn't want to rush moving in together, and that they treat moving in together and living together as something sacred. And so leading up to that, she always lived with a roommate or housemate or whatever. So I actually met her when she was like 21 or 22 and I was 19. And I remember in college, we would go out together, go to Taco Tuesdays, we'd go to bars, and, you know, she was in my sorority, and we would go to like fraternity formals, especially with my then boyfriend who was in a fraternity. And I just remember reflecting on this to her in recent years as well, which is that throughout the years of her and her boyfriend dating, or her now husband, she always had her own life and her own pursuits. She had her own friendships. She indulged in elements of college life, and she had her fun. Like, she was not held back and limited from living her life as a 22, 23, 24-year-old. She very much was able to embrace it with support from her partner. And when I brought it up to her, she of course mentioned like, hey, you know, that was amazing. I'm so glad that I had support from, you know, my partner during those years to be able to just live that age. Because number one, he wanted her to have that college experience too, because she had a less conventional route going to college. She did also mention, though, that what helped was the fact that they dated for a few years leading into her going to college. And so there was trust built. And so I think that helped. But I think that's something that I personally take note on, and also would advise you to take note on, is that healthy dynamic right there. What that looks like is being able to live authentically to who you are and being able to embrace that with support from your partner. And that's exactly what my friend had and still has, of course. Right now they're both in their early 30s, but just the fact that I've been able to be along for the ride and observe their relationship over the past 9 years now is beautiful, you know? And it's something that I keep in mind, because if you don't have good reference points in your own life of models of families or relationships or whatever it is in life, it doesn't even have to be relationship oriented, but anything you want to model or have, you should ideally have clear examples of who or what those are and why, right? Like for me, I value family unit, I value relationships, I value being able to build and create that family unit. And so having a really, really close friend of mine who's known me for 9 years and is living this example with such stability, and on top of that, her friends who are also, you know, married and have newborns or young toddlers, right? To be able to see that she's surrounded by very similar people and similar men and women and with similar dynamics, it just like highlights that for me, you know? And it's something that I've been thinking more about in this chapter of my life as I think ahead to where do I want my life to lead over the next 3, 4, 5 years, because just life goes by quick, right? And if you don't plan a little bit, you'll kind of be pushed by the waves or the water, as if you want to think of it as an analogy. And so you want to try to steer your own ship as well, while accepting that there's a little bit of that natural wave that will also be steering your ship as well. Like, you want to be contributing to how your life is going and the direction it's going, and also be a little accepting of, hey, like, just certain things are going to happen the way they are. Another example I know personally as well is someone that met her partner when she was like 28 or 29, and she married him when she was like 33, so like a couple years later. And throughout that process, one thing that I noticed is that she was building her own company throughout, you know, being in a relationship with this person, and she had her own life going. Again, very, very common theme when I look at couples and marriages where people, again, the two people I know personally, one was with her partner since she was 18, but I observed and was part of some of those experiences where she lived her own life, right? And again, truth be told, she could have been with a partner that was not supportive of her, you know, going to college or being in a sorority or going out to, you know, the bars like that she went to with me and other friends and just like living a little, right? I don't know what that would have looked like, but I guess for her, because she had a supportive partner and, you know, there was mutual trust and they foundationally have the same values and all of that, that isn't a problem, right? So she was able to build her life in confidence as her own person. And they slowly, slowly, slowly became united in one when they got married, right? Many years later, a gradual process, not rushed. And I think she married him when she was like 25 and he was 28. And to be transparent, they also are a little bit more on the traditional side, but she always was very open with me about their plans and their goals. And I knew that they eventually wanted to have children after a couple years of marriage. So lucky for them, it kind of turned out the way they have been planning. But I understand, like, it doesn't always work that way for everyone. And that's why I am sharing like another example of someone that met her partner later on in life. Like, she met him closer to 30, right? And they still don't have children. Like, she's in her early 30s, right? Like, at the age of 33, or maybe 34 now, I'm not quite 100% sure. But in looking at the two of them, something I've noticed with her is that she always had her life going and had her own sense of self prior to meeting him. So then when two whole individuals come together and create a union and build a life together, it just feels really rock solid. Her authentic self doesn't feel taken away. It doesn't feel minimized, vice versa. And that's another great, healthy dynamic. And just so you guys know, of course, it's very hard to see from the outside looking in. So that's why I'm only referencing very specific observations that I can actually say with, you know, certainty, like, yeah, I know this. But I think oftentimes if you get curious enough and ask people, especially those who are, you know, a couple years older than you or are in different places in life, and just ask some of those questions, you'll probably discover some of the common themes as to why certain marriages and dynamics are so stable and healthy and strong. And mind you, that goes without saying that every dynamic has its ups and downs, right? Like, that's very normal. But I think the one thing healthy dynamics across the board all have is that each person feels completely themselves and they don't feel held back in their own life and in their own dreams, and they feel very aligned and very connected. So I think that's something to pay attention to. And if you are dating right now, or if you are in a stage where you hope to find and connect with a longtime partner, I really encourage you to continue to explore what it means to get to know yourself better, to understand yourself, to understand your interests, to understand what makes you light up, what makes you excited and happy, because it's very easy to forget about that when you get into a relationship, especially if it's, you know, your first relationship, or if it's one where, you know, you're just newer to co-creating with someone. And so I'm really grateful for my own experiences. I've had that learning curve of going through in my early, you know, late teens, early 20s, I was a lot more codependent as a person in a relationship. And then I learned from the partner I was dating, but also just through my own observations, that a relationship is a lot better and healthier when you can feel stable and secure in yourself and you come together with someone that is also like that. Okay, so my second observation is the top regret people often have is not exploring enough or going out of their comfort zone. So this one has been shared with me a lot on the podcast. I have been asking guests something that they wish they did differently when they were younger and something that they are glad that they did and they would repeat that choice again. And one of those quote-unquote regrets is often around traveling and wishing that they traveled or saw more of the world or lived in different parts of the world. And it's something that I highly encourage myself. You know, I've traveled quite a bit. I've done several solo trips. I have also lived in different cities and different parts of different cities. You know, like I lived in California, but I lived in Newport Beach, Irvine, California, which is Orange County. I lived in Los Angeles, close to Venice Beach and Venice, California, Marina Del Rey. And of course, I lived in New York City, you know, so I've moved around a lot and I've lived in big metropolitan cities, right? And this is coming from someone that grew up in a small town in Pennsylvania. So I do encourage this because most people that I know often move closer to where they're from, or when it comes to traveling, have only been to very, I guess you could say, like generic spots, places that don't push them too out of their comfort zone, you know? And I think one big way to grow is being out of your comfort zone and being in places where you don't speak the native language, or being in places where just the culture is different. Like, to be honest, when I moved from Pennsylvania to Southern California, even there, I noticed a huge culture change. I've heard a lot of people say this as well. When it comes to California, it honestly sometimes feels like a different country because it is just different in a lot of ways. Of course, there's this American element, but it is so different. And to be fair, it's just a very big state. So I know living in places like California and New York has expanded my mind so much, especially because it is an actual melting pot in both of these places where you don't see primarily, I don't know, like two races or three ethnicities or, you know, whatever, cultures. There's just all of it. And I think in other big metropolitan cities, speaking in the US, for example, you know, you go to Miami or Dallas, Texas, or Philadelphia. While those places are diverse in different ways, the diversity is not the same melting pot of cultures that is apparent in places like New York and Los Angeles. So that's why I really feel like I get to have that cultural growth and awareness of people from different backgrounds all around the world, which I personally really love. Something I will say that is important to keep in mind when it comes to traveling and getting out of your comfort zone, yes, that's important and that's healthy and it does help you grow, but it's also important to still ensure that the places you travel to still align with your values or your interests or your long-term goals, like whatever that may be, right? Like, of course, if you're going just for like a quick trip, then that's different. But let's say you are thinking about traveling or moving somewhere as a nomad or living somewhere for 3 months, like a short period of time, or even long term, doesn't matter. Like if you're trying out a new city, I would be very mindful of just understanding what the lifestyle and the types of people that the specific city attracts. So, for example, speaking from my own lens, I wouldn't be a nomad in Bali or Tulum or Costa Rica or those types of places. And there's nothing wrong with those places. I'm just acknowledging with self-awareness that places like this don't often attract groups of people or types of people that share interests and values with me. On top of that, I'm not drawn to places that are more tropical and super, I don't know, I don't know how to explain it, but like it's just a different vibe, right? Like, of course, when I wrote down places I would consider being a nomad or living for like 1 to 3 months in, you know, my first thoughts are Paris, of course, or Lisbon, or London, or Madrid, or Amsterdam, Copenhagen, Stockholm. Like, there are so many different cities that I get more excited about, I feel more drawn towards, I see people there that I genuinely feel like I could connect with. And of course, some of these cities, or most of them rather, I've been to before, right? So I have some sort of reference point of, okay, I could see myself challenging my comfort and trying to live there for a month or trying to live there for 2 months by myself, you know, or just as a nomad in general. And so that's a piece of tip I would have if you want to try to get out of your comfort zone, you want to move somewhere different, you want to try something different, but you're not sure where to start. I would start with that, which is, what are my long-term goals? How can I get closer to them if I go to this type of environment or this type of city? And also, is it likely that I'm going to meet the types of people I want to maybe connect with or become friends with in this city that I have interest in? The third observation I've had is the relevance of having and developing meaningful relationships and friendships throughout your adult life. So what I have noticed for people that do have these strong, meaningful relationships is that they're consistently just more happy, more joyful, more fulfilled, and more well-rounded and connected. Like one friend of mine I can think of, he's one of my great guy friends based out in LA, and he was visiting New York recently, and he set up like an entrepreneur's dinner and just was connecting with so many different people. And he's been a friend of mine for many years now. And I remember reflecting like, wow, you know, this person really ensures that he surrounds himself with good people and stays connected to them. Him and I actually, funny enough, when I moved 4 years ago from LA to New York, we wanted to make sure that our friendship didn't disconnect and, you know, we didn't lose the strength of our friendship. And so we have, because we're nerds, on our calendar, like a recurring event where every 6 weeks we actually have a touch base phone call, FaceTime, or whatever, and we just chat. And so something I think about is that these people that you're creating and developing relationships with, and it's funny, I thought about this too recently at a dinner where I hosted with six other women. Two of them who were women in their late 50s, early 60s, and it was such an incredible conversation. They've been friends since they were around the age of 27. And so to be able to see how much life has evolved for them and how their friendship is still in place like that spoke out to me a lot. And it really showed me almost like a foreshadow of what life can be when you choose great people and people that value the same things and people that you can keep in your life for a very long time. On the other hand, those I have observed who don't have this or haven't developed those meaningful relationships and friendships, in particular outside of family, by the way, like outside of family friends, I'm just talking like your own circle of influence. Those people I've noticed tend to be a bit more lonely. lack connection, and as a result, lean into pessimism a little bit too easily. And it can be not the greatest energy to be around, especially if you're the opposite, if you're more light and optimistic and you have an abundance of people that you are surrounded by that have great energy and great values and great mindset, it's very easy to kind of like catch these people. So this observation is very much based around fulfillment and pouring into what I like to call your chosen family, because you just never know where that may lead and how impactful your chosen family, aka the people that you have as your friends for years and years to come, how they may be a big element of your life down the road, once you have a family and so forth. My last observation that I think is very important to note is how some people always have confirmation bias and there's not enough differing opinions. One of my favorite learnings and takeaways from Ray Dalio when I read his book Principles is the importance of getting different opinions that actually disagree with each other and evaluate from there. I remember the example he spoke about, I think in his book, was related to a procedure that needed to be done, whether on him or his partner, his wife. I forget what it was related to. It might have even been cancer related. I'm not sure. Or maybe he was just using it as a hypothetical example. But he's saying that, you know, when in those moments, those are big decisions, right? So if you're thinking about getting surgery or doing this procedure, it's actually ideal to have three different opinions where they disagree with each other and let them debate it out and like evaluate it from there. Obviously, you can't always have a scenario like that, but I think the way I apply that in my own life, because I know how to separate other people's opinions from my own views and my own values and my own stance, is that I do ask other people what they would do in this scenario or their judgment or their opinion of XYZ. And it's not because I'm looking for their validation, but it's because I'm looking to see if there are alternative ways to look at the scenario or if there are alternative ways to make a decision in this moment. And it's not because I don't trust myself, but it's because I do trust myself so much that I actually just want to check and see, are there any gaps or loopholes in the way I'm seeing this scenario? And again, I think that just comes with practice. I started doing this a couple years ago, I want to say like my final year of college. I really just started to lean into getting different opinions that kind of disagree with me. And I think one easy example, I tell a lot of women this, is if you have amazing guy friends or friends that are just like different from you, like if you're always asking your girlfriends what they think or what they would do, like they're often going to hype you up. They're often going to tell you the thing that you want to hear. And we love the girlfriends. We love the girls that want to support, right? But sometimes you need to hear a different voice and you need to understand something from a different lens. So for example, if I'm dealing with something in business, I do often go to my male business related friends, or even when it has been with dating or understanding relationships in a certain way, you got to remember, if you ask another girlfriend what they would do or what they think, they're going to tell you from a female lens, right? But if you talk about it with another guy friend or someone that can see it more objectively, they can lean into the person that is like on the other side. So if you're in a dating scenario, right, you're early on in the dating stage, everyone gets in their head and you're not sure. Instead of asking your girlfriends all the time, ask someone that you trust that is a guy, because guys think like guys and girls think like girls, right? So if you want to really grow and expand your mind and not always assume that you're right and not always assume that you know everything. Just ask, right? And by the way, it is easier to do this when you are secure in yourself. I understand and I know people personally that wouldn't do this, that wouldn't take this approach because, I don't know, they actually, someone has once told me, they're like, I don't need to ask for other people's opinion because I trust my own judgment. Well, just because I do this, it doesn't mean I don't trust my own judgment, but it's because I'm mindful of not assuming that I always know best. I'm mindful in not assuming that I can understand what this person thinks, right? So I think this is really important, especially when you are making an important decision. But of course, on the day-to-day, I think it's really helpful to just, you know, if you're ever unsure, if it gets to a point where you're like, okay, this is how I see things, but maybe let me gauge what this person says and what this person thinks. And I've even done this, I remember like a couple years ago when I was navigating like a friend situation, and it was easy to go to him because we share the same values, we care about relationships, we care about connection, and he understood the situation, he understood why I was struggling to make a decision on, you know, kind of what my next approach would be. And he very much helped me understand and recognize that I was creating mental gymnastics on myself by having that conversation with a friend that's really removed and also not thinking in a feminine way. I was able to look at it more objectively and not get too wrapped up in it emotionally. And even a side comment too, I think something that is important to think of, especially if you are someone that's in a relationship, of course, you can always go to your boyfriend, your partner, and that's great, and that's normal, and that's healthy. But also keep in mind that, and I share this from a place of somewhat getting criticized before, or, you know, the comment towards me was that you shouldn't go to other men, so to speak, for their thoughts or advice or whatever. And I understand and respect that perspective. I just think there's two parts to that. Number one, I never want to overwhelm my partner about certain things in my life because, yes, they're your partner, but just like normal psychologists and people will say, Your partner is not supposed to be your every single thing. Like you don't want to be overwhelming them with things that's why you have friends. That is why you have people that serve different buckets in your life. Yes, your partner can ideally serve most of those buckets, right? But that is why there's a thing called balance. And that's why there's a thing called overwhelm, right? So I believe it is healthy when you can lean on other valuable people in your life for insights and advice. And again, it doesn't mean you have to take other people's advice or other people's opinion, but it's healthy to not always think you're right or that you already know what's best. That's how you actually stump your growth. And I would say by doing this and kind of hearing people like Tim Ferriss way back in the day, this is actually kind of how I started doing this in college. I realized that by asking and getting outside of myself, that was how I was able to grow and evolve into the person that I am. So with that being said, I hope this episode was helpful and thought-provoking. If you enjoyed this episode or had a takeaway, it would mean a lot if you could share this with a friend, share it with someone that you know would find this valuable, would also be thought-provoking for them. And as always, I love your feedback. So be sure to DM me on Instagram at Emily E. Duong or at What Fulfills You if you're not following on Instagram yet. And that is all for today's episode. Thank you again for tuning in. I will chat with you all in the next one.
With all the GLP-1 companies out there, how does someone know which one's actually reliable?
I tell people to look at four things. Is it safe? Does it work? Is it affordable? And will you actually get clinical support? When you use that filter, one brand keeps standing out, Bleve. They use U.S. pharmacies. People see results close to the research, about 18% weight loss, It's around $4 a day, and they include nurse support at no extra cost. And full disclosure, I actually use them. I signed up during my lunch break and got approved before I even left work.
Okay, I just Googled it while you were talking, and yeah, it really does look simple. For anyone listening who wants to check it out, where should they go?
It's joinbleave.com, spelled B-L-I-V.
So if you've been curious about GLP-1s, joinbleave.com might be a good place to start.
Come explore the wild heart of Utah with Oars. No notifications, no meetings, no signal. Just you, the river, and the space to reconnect with what matters most. From one-day adventures in Dinosaur National Monument to week-long journeys through canyonlands and beyond, Oars delivers unforgettable guided rafting experiences on some of the most iconic rivers in the West. Visit oars.com/Utah to start planning your next great adventure. Let's go rafting!